Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. My guest, who will be on shortly, is Dr. Mitzi Gold, and she is the director of the Mars Venus Counseling Center in Hawaii. And when I lived in Hawaii, she was on my radio program several times, and I have lots of admiration and respect for Dr. Mitzi Gold, as she and I were friends and did social things together, which was always fun. Dr. Mitzi Gold, her background started with mind-body-spirit philosophies and therapies. For instance, she worked for Esalen Institute in San Francisco, and that developed, no doubt, her mind-body-spirit philosophies, because Esalen is famous for that. And she's also a licensed clinical social worker in Hawaii and a licensed psychologist. So she has lots of credentials, and I know you'll find her. She's finishing up with a patient in Hawaii because she leaves on a big trip tomorrow, so she's working this show in between. And of course, in Hawaii, it's just a little bit past noon. We have time differences. The beauty of internet radio is that we can talk to different places at different times, and it goes also all over the world. Anybody who has an internet connection can listen, and that's really so satisfying and gratifying to have this show. And I'm in the, let's see, 3.5 years. I'll tell you a little bit until Mitzi comes on. Probably 4 years ago now, Gary Null kind of auditioned me. We talked for over an hour about relationships and sexuality. And at that time, he was looking at some PBS television. And I guess he liked what he heard because he offered me this radio show. And I love doing it. And I'm very grateful to Progressive Radio Network and to Gary Null for having this opportunity to speak to you. You know, I've been in practice 30 years and plus, and I've done a lot of media work over the years, and of course, media is the best way to get out good, solid information, and I'm grateful for that. So when Mitzi Gold comes on, we're going to find out what the top three issues facing a couple seeking marital counseling. She does marital counseling. I do it. It'll be a conversation for sure. And let's see, how can I kind of talk to you until she comes on? You know, I have no trouble sort of winging it. When you're tuned in to yourself, when you're not, let's start with not tuned into yourself, because Mitzi's all about mindfulness because of her Esalen training. And so when you're not tuned into yourself, you miss a lot of experiences and opportunities that will build a rich, rewarding life. So how do you tune into yourself? Well, I think it's useful to think back to the last few big decisions you made. And if your job, living situation, or relationship occurred because someone else took the lead, you're likely to be drifting. And we don't want to be drifting. We want to have more intention in our lives. And I think Mitzi should be on pretty soon. And Greg's going to let me know when she is. So I would like to, I'll start by talking. Oh, Now, this could be her on my cell phone. She may not have this straight about... Hold on. Hi, Missy. I'm on the air, so you need to call the radio station. The number is 888-874-4888, and I'm on the air talking about her, so we need to have her call in. No, she's to call in. Okay, bye. Well, you've just heard some live on-the-air discussion, and I think there was a little bit of a miscommunication, but that's all right. We know how to, it's showbiz, and so I think we're going to have Mitzi shortly, and I look forward to that. So I've told you about Mitzi's background, and let's see if she can make it on. Meantime, I can wing it, because that's what I do. So I do, one of the first things I want to ask her are, what are the top three issues most typical facing couples seeking marital counseling? And then since she represents John Gray, and I met him, and he even came to my home in Hawaii probably 12 years ago. And so he came to my home, and he's a fascinating guy, and a lot of you know that he's sold millions of books on Mars, Venus. And Greg, if you're listening, I may give you... Hello? Is she on?
I am.
Oh, good, Mitzi. Hello.
Aloha.
Aloha. So glad you're on, because I've been sort of winging it. I knew you might be a little bit late, but thank you again for making time in your very busy schedule.
No problem. We had a little slight problem. I thought you guys were going to call us, so we were waiting for your call. So then we were like, oh, no, we've got a call.
Yeah. Well, that's why I gave you the 888 number. So there was a little bit of a miscommunication. But anyway, we're going now, so let's go with it. And I've already told the listening audience your background
And you know it, so that's great.
Yes, and how much I admire you and respect you and the fun we had when I lived in Hawaii.
Yes.
And look forward to seeing you again when
yes,
I
you
next
had
return.
Fit in fabulous then. You have a new name for your radio show now.
Yes, Love, Lust, and Laughter. Those are good things, aren't they?
Yes, we need it desperately.
Yes, Mitzi. So, I've explained to the audience that you have the Mars Venus Counseling Center, and the website is marsvenushawaii.com. And so maybe you could tell us some of your favorite John Gray ideas, ones that you use a lot. And then we'll go on to something a little more particular in terms of your counseling approach.
Well, you know, it's so amazing because, you know, John's written, I think it's now 18 books.
18? I had no idea.
I know. You know, people get kind of stuck with Men Are From Mars, but the reality is that he started off with What You Feel You Can Heal, and his latest book came out, I think in the last couple months. It's Work With Me, The 8 Blind Spots Between Men and Women at Work. And in between, he's had Practical Miracles, which is kind of working with nature and energy, Mars and Venus on a Date,
mm-hmm.
Mars and Venus in the Bedroom,
mm-hmm.
Why Mars and Venus Collide, Venus on Fire, Mars on Ice. So he's evolved his work so much. And so when you say, what are my favorites? Well, I was actually just working with a patient now, and one thing in particular is as models, as parents, you are models for your kids as to how to treat each other. And I was just talking to a mom that they're very child-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So what I have, a couple of his examples are when you come home, when the husband comes home or the wife comes home, you look for your partner first, and then you say hi to the kids. The kids may be all there, excited to see you, but by you saying, where's mom or where's dad, they know mom or dad is the most important person. And then the kids listen better when they know that the adults are in charge.
And you know, that is a very important idea. I have a little behavioral exercise that I give to a number of my clients, and that is that when they greet each other at the end of the day, they do a 7-second kiss and a 15-second hug. And the children that may be around see this, and there are different reactions to it. Sometimes they want to get in, so it's a group hug. And other times they giggle, and other times, until they get used to it, they're not so sure, the children. But it's very important for parents to model a strong marriage. And it's better for the children, of course, and I guess that's what John Gray talks about.
Right, it's the same way when, you know, if a wife is cooking and she calls her husband for dinner and he says, you know, he's busy, go ahead, you know, without me. Well, then he says, that's what you're training the kids. They don't have to listen to mom either. They can say, no, well, we don't want to go to dinner either.
And so
it's just these small things that you wouldn't even normally think about that have this, you know, very deep, you know, subconscious, you know, impact on a kid because they've noticed it in their family and how it works. And then parents wonder, well, why aren't the kids listening? Well, are you listening to each other as spouses? You know, so
yes,
it's all of this is very important to even know it so you can practice it.
And to have the consciousness raised, which John Gray does so well. He's a really good writer, and the link on MarsVenusHawaii.com, there's a link to his blog, and Lauren Gray must be his wife. She's a very,
His daughter.
His daughter!
She's in her 20s, yes.
Okay, she's gorgeous, and she's trained by her father, I guess.
Yes, it's a father-daughter show.
Okay,
yeah,
I so thought, oh my goodness, he must have remarried somebody much younger.
No. She is the daughter, the youngest daughter.
Yeah.
And she's taken up an interest, and she kind of feels that she kind of satisfies the younger generation and issues and questions that they might have.
And it's a very good blog. I looked at it, and there are video, little YouTube-type things, and it's excellent. When my question was favorite John Gray ideas, but there are so many, so that's impossible
to say.
There
are many, but, you know, I certainly could list a couple of others that I think are very important.
Okay, please.
He has a whole book on practical miracles where he talks about how to kind of work with nature to release negative energies. And one of the best ways is when you have pets, these beautiful four-legged creatures that touch the earth. They don't have tennis shoes that you know, mm-hmm. keep them from touching the ground, that they are able to just draw off our negative energy. And that's why we feel so good when we're around these pets, is that they're helping us to relieve ourselves of any negativity and a release. It doesn't matter. It just flows through them back into the earth, and we feel better. We feel that unconditional love then.
Well, I was just going to say unconditional love. This is why pets are so important to people, and also why it's been shown that pets, if you have a pet, you recover faster from surgery. Just petting the pet.
Yes.
It makes a difference.
Yes. So it's a real healing thing. The same thing with, you know, flowers. The roses have the highest vibration of any flower in the world, our world.
Really?
And that is, it's so interesting that originally flowers were given, you know, for, to apologize or to show your love, because they are, they have such a beautiful love frequency.
Well, how do we know this, just to be the devil's advocate for a minute? How do we know this?
Well, you know, of course, probably David Hawkins' book, probably he's done a lot of work on power versus force, but I'm not even sure if he verified that. But, you know, whatever research John has done, roses are the highest vibrational frequency of any flower on this planet. And he used to do a beautiful healing workshop with maybe 30 dozen more roses.
Wow.
And they would actually, you know, at the end of it, I mean, you could see them kind of wilting just from all the healing energy. It was his deeply kind of healing seminar that he would do, like, over a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that's kind of interesting. Most people don't know this kind of background about John Gray, because they know about his, you know, famous Men Are From Mars work, but he really comes from a very deep healing background, where he helps people deal with the issues of the past, to forgive and release and let go of things that they've held on to, and to learn how to do that every day. And so he really is well versed in a variety of ways of working with people. And now he's doing more diet and exercise, and dealing with hormones and sleep and stress, and how the more balanced we are as people, the better partners we are in life.
Well, that's for sure. And I was telling the audience before you came on, Mitzi Gold, that you did a lot of work at the Esalen Institute, so you have a real mind-body background.
Yes, when I was very young, I was fortunate. My third year of college, I spent a semester working at Esalen, and I studied with all the great people in humanistic psychology and and things like Gestalt and Aikido and martial arts and all different approaches to life, and it kind of created a solid foundation for me as to how I was going to live my life, which is great, because when you're in your 20s, you're out on your own, and it's the time to discover, what is life all about?
Mm-hmm.
And how am I going to create my life? What's possible for me in my life? So to be able to be at Esalen and to be able to work with all of those great teachers there, and to learn so much and to put into practice for my own life, it really set me on a great course.
And you probably became more spiritual.
I did.
In the process. And one of my central beliefs is that the most important things in life aren't things. And our society is religious, but not terribly spiritual. So I don't know if you use in your therapeutic work, but the Buddhist mindfulness practices are useful.
Yes. You know, I think nowadays, I mean, for spiritual for me is really about our personal relationship to the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And that we do have one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to, as you said, be mindful of mm-hmm. our life and how we're living it and our effect mm-hmm. on other people and the world around us, and to honor our beliefs and other people. And so I think that the whole notion of spirituality, I think, is becoming more important to people, whether they're involved with organized religion or whether they have their own, you know, personal belief and they go out in nature and hike through the different valleys and trails in life. But yeah, I think that a spiritual basis in life kind of directs us. How do we relate to other people? What do we do for our work in life? You know, things like that are very important for us to have a quality life.
Yeah, to have a quality life. And, of course, you live in a state, and so often I miss Hawaii, because it's so beautiful. And it can be a way to really easily reconnect with nature.
Yeah. I was floating around in the ocean yesterday on an inner tube, talking to a friend, and just marveling at the simple things you can do that just are just so heartwarming and peace-giving. You know, I can't think of anything better than to just have, you know, an opportunity to be out in the ocean and floating around, bobbing around, and relaxing.
Well, no wonder Hawaii was named the top state for stress-free living, or nearly stress-free. I know
is
traffic
it?
Has gotten worse, but it was ranked, you know, right at the top. And to be able to get out into nature and float around, oh, I'm a little jealous, but because I remember how wonderful
it was.
Well,
just put on a wetsuit over there in Washington.
Okay, well, yeah, all right. But and maybe when you're feeling so good and so stress, relatively stress-free, it's perhaps easier to manifest generosity. I think giving back greatly enhances your well-being and optimism. And I like the idea, and I suggest this to some of my clients, to do volunteer work. It develops our generosity and gratitude and helps us control our thoughts. So instead of perhaps thinking about or focusing about what we've lost, we realize that we can help others who've lost more than what we have.
Yeah.
If we've lost.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a wonderful thing to share with other human beings on whatever level, you know, whether you're supporting them or just listening to them or you're telling them a story. Just that exchange is very important, I think. I think it really is, you know, we're fortunate that we have these beautiful relationships with people.
Yes, we are, and I'm so glad that you and I have reconnected.
Yes.
So, let's go back to your counseling. You see lots of couples, and would be interesting to compare notes to see what are the top three issues most typical facing a couple seeking marriage counseling. And I have a feeling that two of them might be communication and sexuality, but what about the third, and could you elaborate on these?
You know, I think that the third one would probably be the disappointment in not getting your needs met. John Gray talks about specific needs that men and women have. They're probably the similar needs for both of us, but there are specific needs that women have versus what men have. They're called primary love needs. And I think a lot of times people just do not know what those needs are or are unable to really talk to their partner about them and get those needs met. I guess a lot of times people, men or women, just don't realize that the needs that our partners have are different than our needs. So let me give you an example.
Yes, please.
The big need that men have, and the way that they know that they're doing well in the relationship, is to be appreciated. And Frank, my partner, says you can't go over the top. So, you know, when a man takes out the trash or screws in a new light bulb, just to acknowledge him, thank you so much, tells him, well, first of all, you've received it, and secondly, that it matters in her life that I'm here.
Yes.
So, you know, I constantly have men that sit on the couch and say, I'm just not appreciated.
I hear the same thing, Mitzi.
Yes, and women don't totally understand how important appreciation is, or sometimes they're stingy because they're kind of resentful, and they don't want to give too much if they don't feel like they're not getting anything back.
Well, and then a lot of women, I don't think, realize that men often show their love by fixing things or doing things, and they sometimes don't always have the words. But
right.
they are demonstrating their love.
Yes, exactly.
But
exactly.
In a different way, and I guess John Gray talks about that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so appreciation is the way men a lot of times receive love, and a lot of times they don't get the kind of appreciation that makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't realize, I mean, sometimes women just like, oh, thanks. But, you know, to kind of put a little bit more enthusiasm, like, wow, thanks for making that meal. It was really tasty, or I was really tired, and it was really nice to have a dinner, makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you know, sometimes, because I've seen, as I'm sure you've seen, that a lot of relationships unravel because of what I call emotional undernourishment. They're just, you know, they start to take each other for granted,
mm-hmm.
and they forget to say thank you and so on.
Right.
So sometimes I'll end a counseling session with a few minutes of sweet nothings, and this is where they take turns face-to-face, knee-to-knee, holding hands, eye contact, and they get to say what they really appreciate and value about the other.
Mm-hmm.
And recently I had one man, and they'd been married 25 years, start to cry when he heard all of these things.
Mm. He's
so
been waiting a long time, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so the best relationships are relationships where gratitude is shown
mm-hmm.
on a regular basis, and we say thank you.
Yes, it's so important, and it never ends. You know, all the things that worked at the beginning of the relationship, dating, listening, mm-hmm. sharing, talking, you know, all those things work forever in the relationship. That's why you were attracted to each other, and you wanted to spend time together, was because all those things were happening. And sometimes I think, and it can be for men or for women, but when the deal is closed, like it's sealed and you're going to, you know, get engaged or get married, then people are like, okay, well, I can go on to other things. But you never really, if the relationship is important, you never ever move on past that stage. You're always going to be dating. You're always going to be listening. You're always going to be sharing.
Yes, and that's why, as a board-certified sex therapist, I just want to say this before we have to go to our break. The not tonight, dear, is so destructive in terms of their sexual life, because being turned down by someone we've just met in a bar is not so surprising or wounding, but suffering sexual rejection by the person with whom we have pledged to share our life, wow, that's kind of, that can be humiliating.
Right. Not even, you know, looking good at night. You know, you've got
mm-hmm.
your face mask on, or you're unshaven, or whatever it is. But that isn't too attractive either.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of have to keep up that being attractive in the relationship, too. You don't want to let yourself go.
Yes. Well, there's our music, so we're going to go to a break of a couple of minutes, and then we'll come back and we'll continue this wonderful discussion with Dr. Mitzi Gold. So stay with us. Thank you.
Se ti perderai nel labirinto di un amaro autore. Ma i tuoi piedi.
We are back. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. And I'm here with Dr. Mitzi Gold, the director of Mars and Venus Counseling Center in Hawaii. And the website is marsvenushawaii.com. And I said in the promo, Mitzi, that you would help explain how to keep the fire of love burning in your relationship with the four R's: recall, release, realign, and reconnect. And could we spend a little bit of time on that? And then I'd like to go to, because you talk about want and need in a relationship and how you distinguish between those. So could we do that, Mitzi Gold, Dr.
Sure, I'd Gold. Like to share the women's basic needs. So when you're ready for that,
oh, yeah.
Let me know.
No, let's, yeah, because that's a good follow-up. Because you talked about the man's basic needs, and this is Dr. John Gray in part, right?
Yes.
So
we were talking about appreciation.
Appreciation for the man. And for the woman, what is the basic need there?
Well, I would say, there are five basic needs, or six basic needs for both, but I would say understanding is very important for women.
Mm-hmm.
To feel that the man in their life understands what they're going through, understands who they are, you know, has that sense of really, you know, knowing who they are and loving them as they are.
And this also comes into the sexual relationship, because a woman who feels desired, not only understood, but desired by her man, is apt to feel more desire.
Then be more attractive.
And be more attractive, exactly.
Right.
But, yeah, sometimes women need to just say, honey, don't try to fix this. Just listen to me, because I need to feel understood.
Right.
Yes.
It's so important that men learn that important skill to listen, and it's to be empathic, which most men are not trained to do.
Mm-hmm.
They're trained to be fixers and problem solvers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so when a woman especially comes to a man and has something that's bothering her,
mm-hmm.
she really needs someone that listens and trusts that she could figure out her own solutions. And
mm-hmm.
the most important thing for me right now is to be here and support her emotionally. This emotional support is key.
Mm-hmm. So in your own counseling sessions with your couples, do you have them role play some of that?
I do. I actually
have.
Because I've taught all of John Gray's workshops, I actually do have examples, and actually I had a couple last week doing the before and after conversation.
So say more about that. I'd like to hear.
Well, there's like a skit.
Uh-huh.
And they read back and forth the before.
Uh-huh.
And then the after, how they could do it. And then I ask them in between, how did that one feel? And
yeah.
they can feel the difference.
Yes. So
and
can you
so,
give a brief example?
Course, huh?
Can you give a brief example, Mitzi, of like something before and then after, and how it shifted for the couple?
You mean in terms of like the little skit?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Let me read you a little one. Do you have a minute for this?
Okay. Of course.
Okay. Here we go.
We still have
okay.
25.
Here's a little skit.
Yeah.
This is an actual skit.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Venusian, and then it's going to be back and forth.
Okay.
This is a Venusian. I'm upset and unhappy, and I feel terrible today.
Mm-hmm.
Martian. Does this have anything to do with me? Venusian. I feel like nothing is right about my life. Yesterday everything looked great. Today it looks terrible. Martian. You just need a little cheering up. Let's go to a movie. Venusian. I have so much to do every day. I have housework, errands, bills to pay. I feel so anxious, and I hate all my clothes. Martian. Things always look more complicated than they really are. What's wrong with your clothes? Venusian. I hate my hair. Maybe I should cut it again. Martian. There's probably a great hairdresser here in town that you should go to. Venusian. I think maybe I've lost most of my friends. I'm not sure they like me anymore. Martian. Nobody could not like you. Don't worry. Venusian. I don't think you're listening to me. So John talks about, he gives a perfect example of how Martians carry a wallet and women carry a purse. So Martians oftentimes think that everything in the conversation should make sense and be connected. Mm. But as you could see from that example,
right,
women can have all kinds of issues going on at the same time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she was just throwing out, she was in her well, she was throwing out all of her problems, and he was trying to solve every one of them.
He was, I heard that.
He was trying, but that's not what she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So shall we do the better way?
Let's do the better way, yes. I think this is quite brilliant and I think useful for the listeners.
Yeah, I think so, because a lot of times they'll relate, like I've had that kind of conversation.
Exactly. So go ahead with this script, this skit, yes.
Okay, this is a skit. Mm-hmm. Venusian. I'm upset and unhappy. I feel really terrible today. Martian. I'm sorry, honey. Venusian. I feel like nothing is right about my life. Yesterday everything looked great. Today it looks terrible. Martian. I know, it's amazing how that happens. Venusian. I have so much to do every day. I have housework, errands, bills to pay. I feel so anxious and I hate all my clothes. Martian. That must feel terrible. Venusian. I hate my hair. Maybe I should cut it again. Martian. Venusian. I think I maybe lost most of my friends. I'm not sure they like me anymore. Martian. You're such a loving person. May I give you a hug?
Oh.
Venusian, thanks so much for listening to me. I feel so much better. It's like weights were lifted off me. I love you.
See what a difference when the Martian guy, the guy, was able to really listen and not just try to fix something, but really listen and be empathic.
Yes.
What a difference. And she felt heard.
And I will tell you this, it's so important. When I train men to do this simple exercise John recommended, it's 3 minutes, where the woman will say, is this a good time? Would you be willing to listen for 3 minutes while I share about my day? Mm-hmm. You don't have to try to fix me or solve any problems. When he knows it's 3 minutes and I am just going to listen, most men will say, I will gladly do that. It's
exactly.
So much easier than trying to solve problems.
Right. And a lot of men are overwhelmed if the woman goes on and on and on and on.
Oh, yeah.
For 20 minutes. So
yeah.
you say up front, 3 minutes, sweetie, 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And you listen for 3 minutes.
I mean, you can get better and do a 20-minute as you are more advanced, but 3 minutes you can cover a lot of topics.
You can indeed. And you know, I have a little joke about, you've heard of Al-Anon? Well, on and on and on and on is for compulsive talkers. And since women tend to have more words anyway, you know, the brain studies have shown this, men sometimes just get overwhelmed and they tune out or they go into their cave,
right,
or something. So
they get overwhelmed very easily. You can,
yeah,
kind of see them, their eyes glaze over, right, and you've lost them.
Well, not only that, but the John Gottman, you know, he's here at UW, or was, because he's now, I guess, retired. But he, not only that, but he says men get hot under the collar much more easily than women. And sometimes they'll go into stonewalling and go into their caves because they worry that their anger comes up and it's so hot and,
yeah,
present, and they don't want to strike out or do anything, so they'll withdraw.
Right. And John Gray talks about that too, when you know, the potential is for an argument or something and men want to leave,
mm-hmm,
that you have to see it as they are protecting you, that they need to leave and cool down.
Right.
And most women want to say, hey, don't leave, because they're afraid of being abandoned or whatever. Don't leave,
mm-hmm,
me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't, you're not going to leave now. And,
mm-hmm,
they try to block a man or whatever, or try to keep him talking. And sometimes it's better to just cool off, because a lot of times nothing good in a conversation is going to continue from that state of mind.
Exactly. Cool off, but then agree that they'll come back to it.
Absolutely.
And maybe that's in an hour. Maybe that's the next morning. I think couples taking a walk apart to cool down.
Right.
And it may not feel so good as just exploding in the moment. Sometimes that feels good to certain people. Most people feel terrible afterwards.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So all of these things, and you talk about fair fighting, and this has to do with it. And you say arguments are not a negative thing. They can be a great tension release. And, of course, make-up sex is the best sex of all. You know, the thing about being angry is that, physiologically speaking, our blood pressure is up. Most women can't really do this very well, and their heartbeat is up. So they're already, it's very similar to sexual arousal, and that's why make-up sex can be really good.
Yeah, I personally have not really experienced makeup sex because normally there's emotional things to kind of resolve.
Right.
You know, so I mean, I would imagine though, if you're a younger woman, maybe mm-hmm. when your hormones are at their peak when you're 37,
mm-hmm.
maybe it would be a lot easier. But as you know, as you're getting older, the hormones aren't quite there. You know, you got to shift into sexuality.
Well, that's why I say most women can't do it.
Yes.
Well.
Now, what about you, Diana? Are you good at this?
I'm very fortunate because after so many years and a couple of marriages, and as you know, my last husband died, but I'm finally in a really good relationship, and Brian is very easygoing, has a good disposition, and then if we come up with something that maybe doesn't have the clarity, we practically solve it on the spot. We get the clarity, we talk about it, so we don't have fights.
You know what, I think that you know, just as I've gotten older, I think there's something to do with maturity and wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember being a lot younger in my 20s or 30s, and I would have arguments, and it would
right.
take a long time to resolve them.
Mm-hmm.
And it maybe because I've known Frank for a number of years, or maybe because, you know, we've experienced a lot of different things, and it's a combination of things, but... we just don't have those same kinds of issues that we used to have, you know, when I was younger. I never really had that kind of issue with Frank. We never spent a lot of time arguing, but with some relationships you do, and I guess that maybe that's a power issue or just a, you know, a lot of misunderstandings or whatever it was. But as I've gotten older, I guess your pick of partner too, like you said, that he has more even-natured.
Mm-hmm. That helps a lot.
Yeah.
To have somebody who has a good disposition. But if you don't have somebody who has a good disposition, then you need to get some help, professional help.
Yeah.
And that often makes a difference because you spend time helping couples fight fair, for want of a better term.
Yes.
And I do too. And you know, it's all about when we're with somebody who's a beloved, we want to be able to feel that we can be vulnerable. We can share who we really are. And not have any fear of retaliation or that our partner will use this against us.
Right. That's a lot of times why people are afraid to really share intimately, because their partner could throw something back at them in a vulnerable time,
mm-hmm.
and they're afraid of that. And so you really have to trust that whatever you tell your partner is not going to be used against you later on.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right. And maybe this is a good segue into what does a quality relationship look like. In our pre-interview, we talked a little bit about it, that that it's pretty egalitarian. And you say, I think you can't give away what you don't have. Would you expand on that a little bit? And also, second question related to that is, do you find that when you see people who can't love and care and feel and share in a relationship, that they're often disconnected from themselves?
Right. You know, I think people want a partnership nowadays. You know, not so much the role playing. I mean, I do have patients that are in the traditional provider-nurturer roles.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. However, most people really want that sense of, you know, I've got an equal partner that's capable of making decisions and has a heart and is doing well in their career and takes care of their health and, you know, that you know, someone that supports me and my goals, too. And that really feels good when there's two of you in life working together and there for each other. And so that's really exciting to see couples working towards that. I start off with a vision, kind of like you do in a business with a vision statement. And I'm finding that a lot of times couples don't have a vision statement. You know, what do you want? What's important to you? What do you want to create? What do you see in 3 or 5 years? What do you see in 20 years? You know, and so it kind of oftentimes, this is the first interview with people.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times they have to think about it. And then further, they're not even really sure of what is a healthy relationship vision. What does that look like?
They don't have a clue. So,
yeah, it's nothing that they've thought about, but
thought
I think
about.
That it's very important to have goals and dreams and a vision for your own personal relationship. Just like you were saying about yourself, I mean, I think that even if we are in a relationship, we are still responsible for our individual lives. And
absolutely.
We need to be taking care of ourselves in every way so we can be the best partner possible. We can love ourselves, we can love our partner. That, you know, we reach certain levels of love and that we are able to share that with other people.
And if you don't love yourself or respect yourself, it's pretty hard to give to somebody else.
Yeah, I think it's impossible.
Impossible, yeah.
You're going to have those blocks all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to feel like they don't love you.
Mm.
Or you can't love them, or whatever it is. But wherever
whatever
the blocks are, they're like mirrors.
Oh, yeah. Say a little more about that, Mitzi.
Well, I think that, you know, life is, we live in a very creative reality. And I think that we're constantly being reflected back where we are in life by what happens to us and how we react and our friends and... You know, I think it's, I don't know if this is how life is or whatever you would call it in the rest of the universe, but this is quite a remarkable place that we can think something or feel something and create it. Create this incredible world and create love and people in our lives. And, you know, it's a very creative place that we live in.
You're so positive and optimistic, and I relate to that because I am too, but it really helps, doesn't it, in relationships. And you also talk about, and this is related to what you had just said, want and need in a relationship.
Yes.
I often help couples distinguish between want and need by saying, you know, there is a difference between want and need. You know, ideally you should be able to say, I want you more than I need you. Well, you know what? I can live without you, but I can live better with you. So it's, the need is a little less sticky dependent, and because there'll always be some need, some kind of interdependent need, but the want is there. I really want you, and I can live without you, but I can live better with you.
Right, you enhance my life.
You enhance my life, yeah. Can you come up with an example about that in your client, in your private practice?
Well, I was just going to say that there are specific needs that we have as human beings,
mm-hmm.
and we do need to get those met. Mm-hmm. And then I think we can certainly fine-tune them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I'd like a hot cup of tea in the morning or my feet rubbed at night or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are certain needs, such as, like you said earlier, respect,
mm-hmm.
appreciation, acceptance,
mm-hmm.
trust.
Mm-hmm.
That's what really makes the relationship work. If we don't have some of those things, it makes it harder. Then you're going to have to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we want the need for acceptance is probably number one, and you talked about that a little bit earlier. The need to feel valued and desired and welcomed.
Yes, of course. That's what you want from your partner, right?
It's like it approaches unconditional love or unconditional positive regard. I like it that your partner's last name is Rogers, because there was that psychologist so long ago that came up with unconditional positive.
Oh, Carl Rogers.
Yeah.
Yes. Those are classic movies now, I guess, to see Carl Rogers in action.
Yes, I saw them once years ago.
They still exist.
Yeah. We're both showing our listening audience that we've been in practice a long time.
Yes, and it was. He really just listened, and he was just gave positive regard back,
yeah.
and that made a huge difference. I think that therapy has changed, and, you know, and it's there's different phases. We're kind of, my understanding is, of course, we're in cognitive behavioral therapy. A lot of people practice that now, but humanistic mm-hmm. psychology, I think, is returning stronger than ever, too. I think a lot of this younger generation is very interested in the human aspects of therapy.
Yeah, say a little more about that. I need to remind you, Mitzi, that we finish up usually 2 to 3 minutes before the top of the hour. So, but say a little more about humanistic, because I know your background is in humanistic psychology.
Well, I think it's more process-oriented and just
mm-hmm.
values the human being and their experience in life, that our unique, you know, magnificent journey through life, and valuing
mm-hmm.
that and finding ways to be in touch consciously with our process in life.
Mm-hmm.
And to value that in others.
That's the thing, too. Isn't that important?
Yes.
To recognize it in yourself and to process the whole thing, but also then to value it in others.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crucial. So,
yeah.
You get to leave tomorrow on a long holiday. Good for you, and good for you and Frank that you're going to have this time.
Yeah, this is, we've been talking about places to go, and it's about over the last 10 years, and so no time like the present, right?
Well, yes, and you know, isn't it true that the older we get, the more we really value and appreciate the moments?
Yes.
The moments.
Yeah.
To be mindful in the moment, and of course, you know, I have to say about this because of my sex therapy work, people that can do that when they're being sexual can be in the moment. It's unbelievably helpful.
You can only be in the moment. It's like dancing. It's like breathing. You know, you just have to be in the moment and be in touch with it, right? Yes. You can't be out of sync when you're dancing.
That's right, and dancing too. Well, we've come to the end of the program, Mitzi, and I am definitely going to have you back when you get back from your trip.
Yeah.
Because we have so much more to speak about.
Yes, it's a pleasure always
to be able
to share with you and discuss ideas, and I just always appreciate you so much, Diana.
Well, it's mutual, Mitzi. Isn't it great that we have this mutual regard for each other?
Yes, it's wonderful.
And it makes you such a good radio guest, and so we'll have you back. So aloha, everybody. I'm going to pick
aloha.
Up.
Aloha.
Yes. Our Hawaii influence, which is so lovely.
Yes.
So have a great trip, Mitzi. Thank you.
Thank you. Take good care, and hi and goodbye to all your audience there.
Yes.
I'm sure they love you.
Yeah, oh, they love you now, too. Thank you, Mitzi. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Che traguardi vuoi farmi trovare? Ai tuoi piedi già.